Okay. How are things down there, Millie?
Warm. Excuse me, warm. It says in the 70s. I'm actually at a convention on the coast. I mean, I can walk out one door and I'm on the water. But
wow.
We're having a Creating Futures conference, technology conference we have every year down here. It's a statewide thing. So that's what I'm doing, but we're in between. Actually, I left one session to make this phone call in because this is important to me.
Well, it's going to be a busy month for you.
Hi, did someone just join?
Winnetta Wright.
Pardon me?
Winnetta Wright.
Okay, thank you.
Winnetta, we're going to be starting in a second.
Okay.
Do I have your email, Winnetta?
Yes. I don't know. Becky has it. Winnetta.
You going to fix me where I can get on the internet, though? Okay. I'm just getting it powered up so you can fix me.
It's Winnetta, W-Y-N-E-T-T-A, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at Bell South.
Sam from the Green Team.
BellSouth.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and several more people just joined. Can you one at a time give me your names, please?
I'm Sam Robinson from the Green Team.
Okay.
Lena Miller from Hunters Point Family.
All right.
Avril Rantz with Clean Earth.
Great. Thank you. I think I heard three dings, so.
Okay
Mike.
Well, we can get started. We normally get started with GLO giving us a update, and I think this week you've got some pleasant news for us. you want to give us an update, GLO?
Well, about an hour after we had our last PLC, EPA released the RFP for this year's job training grants. The due date is April 12th. EPA, I've also sent out two announcements on the listservs, both of them for their clue-in sessions, which if you're thinking about submitting a proposal this year, it would be a good idea for you to join in on their clue-in sessions where they're going to talk about some of the what you can fund under that money, what you can't, that type of thing. Some of the technicalities that they need to discuss. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry to pre-announcement. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's Debbie Wiesen.
Hey, Debbie.
Okay,
and Tony Wood
you.
From National Smoke Control School.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks. And really, that's about the only thing. I haven't heard anything more about it. Just the clue-in sessions, the RFP has been released, and now it's up to people to submit.
Great. To give you a kind of an overview on how this all fits together, we're our calls, our every other week calls, are sponsored by HMTRI, Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute, and ATEC. It's an Advanced Technology Education Center. We're funded by EPA to assist communities set up training programs like this, and we also sponsor an annual meeting every year. This year it'll be in October for all the grantees. And basically our purpose is to get grantees together to talk, have them talking to themselves and among themselves and how to make their programs. One, how to start a program in your community, and two, how to make, if you've got one, how to make it as good as you can. And we do these calls every 2 weeks. The difference between our calls and the EPA calls is ours are pretty much unofficial. They're basically our opinions and opinions of the people who participate. We always have people on the call who have grants, and some have had grants for 10 years with EPA. Whether you get a grant with EPA or decide to submit a proposal or not submit a proposal or just start one on your own and then at a future date look for money, you're certainly welcome to our program. It's free. These are 30-minute informal calls we have every 2 weeks. The next one will be on the 21st. And if you want to be on these calls, we always send out reminders and pre- and post-session notes. So any of you who may have not gotten me your email, most of you, if you got a reminder for this, then you're on our list. If you didn't get a reminder, just send your name, organization, phone number, and email to msenew@aol.com. Now, that's my email address, and I'll make sure you're on our mailing list so you'll get post-session notes. We put in post-session notes kind of a summary of things, addresses, websites, upcoming announcements, that type of thing. So it's M as in Michael, S as in Sam, E N as in Nancy, EW@AOL.com, MSenu@AOL.com. So with that, between the 8th, which is tomorrow, there's going to be a call at 2 p.m. It's going to be an EPA-sponsored call put on by Kathleen Curry, Region 4, and Joe Bruss, who is the project officer for this program. They're going to basically go through the grant request for proposal, and they're going to go pretty much slide by slide through all of the requirements of the grant RFP, how the threshold will be evaluated, allowable costs, and the judging criteria. And that would be a very good call to participate in. If you haven't yet signed up for it, you may want to do that. On the 13th, which would be next week, we're having a special PLC call, similar to the one we're having today. It's going to be an informal session. What we do that's a little different than EPA is we basically talk about how to do your program, perhaps how to do a needs assessment, how to what curriculum you may want to include. Ours are basically off the record, informal. They don't have any bearing on EPA policy. It's basically just an open discussion among people who have done this before. People have been doing this for many years, and it might be helpful in terms of you writing your grant, or if you're just interested in improving your program. I'd encourage you to participate in the call, and we've been sending out announcements for the call on the 13th at 2 p.m. That's a little different call than we do every 2 weeks. We're going to have our regular PLC call that we have every 2 weeks again on the 21st. So. Again, we have this one on the 7th. We have one on the 21st. EPA is going to have their official call on the 8th, and then they're going to, we're going to have an unofficial call on the 13th. So, what you're going to be getting in the next 3 weeks is a whole lot of phone calls and open discussions and workshops about submitting this grant proposal. And the reason that's happening is. These are due on in April, and it isn't very much time to write this kind of a grant. So it's a very short fuse. Those of you who have been on our calls for the last year or 6 months may have done a lot of the homework you need to do that we've been talking about. If you're just starting out, we're going to talk about these things in a few minutes. There are some things you need to get started right away because they take a lot of time. To implement, and you really need to have them in your grant proposal if you're going to write that and submit it by the 12th. It's going to be a challenge. What they're anticipating, of course, is these would be due on the 12th. They would be those of you who qualify. If you don't meet threshold criteria in 15 days, they would notify you that. Your grant wasn't accepted. A threshold criteria, just this very basic thing. You have to be a nonprofit, and your grant has to be under $200,000. And there's very basic screening. But there are some people who don't meet the basic requirements, and they notify them within 15 days that they are not qualified. The rest of the grants then go into a process, and they have reviewers that will. will go through these grants, and they will actually, you know, as objectively as they can, judge them, grade them, 100-point grading system. And there's going to be various points in each of these categories are going to have a certain points aside, and they're going to be looking for questions and answers, and they're going to be looking for response to everything. Did someone have a question out there? I heard someone say something. Okay. So it's a process that they are trying to whittle down. There'll probably be about 100 applications, and they're going to try to get down to about 10 to 12. So there's going to be quite a weeding process. Now, they'll take quite a few out that will on the threshold, so that'll bring it down maybe to 70. But there's still going to be quite a bit of competition. So you really want to do as thorough a job as you can. The thinking is that they would award these in June. Our experience is that EPA is always, because it's a big agency and people are very busy there, they're fairly understaffed. Usually there are delays, so that June may turn into August, very likely. The announcements will be made certainly before the end of the federal fiscal year, which is the end of September. So we're thinking in July, August that the announcements will be made. And for those of you who are successful in getting the grant, we're going to have an annual meeting in October in Washington, and the people who are all the old grantees and the current grantees and the new grantees are all invited to come to that, and we have a meeting, and we pretty much discuss what we discuss on these informal PLCs, off the record, just discussions of what are the problems in starting one of these programs. What do you have to do to make it better? That conference is basically focused on how do we make our programs better and what obstacles are we running into and what are the problems we're having. Our conference calls tend to, on the PLC, the professional learning community calls are how do we get our program started and how do we make it better once we get it started. So there's a little bit of a difference. Usually everyone gets together in October who are the grantees. They start implementing their grants as they propose them. They usually start their first training cycles in the winter. It'll probably be the next winter, 2012, November perhaps, December, perhaps January. You kind of aim for a first graduation class in the first or second quarter, because when we think about the types of people that are employed in the occupations that we're training, they're usually the best hiring time is spring and into early summer when most of the construction work is being had. So you kind of aim at that first graduation class in early spring. Many of our grantees at this moment, for example, are conducting classes, and they're right in the midst of their program. So that kind of gives you an overview of how this process works and what's going to be happening as far as the grants and the grant applications. One caveat I would say is we've had grantees who have been gotten grants for 10 years or so. They've been having these programs supported by grants for 10 years. We've had some grantees that will be funded once and then they may not be funded another time and then they'll be funded again. And they keep their programs going because they've leveraged their funding. We've got some that have gotten grants and don't need any more grants because they've gotten funding from other sources to continue their training program. We've had many applicants who have tried two or three times and have not been successful, but often get it the second or third time. And in fact, I think they will put a note in their notes and their discussion when Joe and Kathleen talk about it. Many of their grantees who are current grantees have submitted unsuccessfully once the first time, and after not getting it the first time, they go back and correct and improve their grant and build on their first grant proposal, and they'll get it the next time. So one thing I would suggest is this program has been funded every year since the 90s, so it's a mature program. It's not a large program, but it seems to get funded every year, some at higher levels, some not as high levels. So there is a very good likelihood that this will continue and expand next year. So I would say whatever investments you're making in terms of designing a program today, don't feel that if you aren't successful in this round that all goes in the wastebasket. We encourage everyone to develop their program and even perhaps get it started with some other funds and then improve on it and keep submitting in future years. And that seems to be a winning combination for many people if they don't get it the first time. Sometimes people have laid out a program and they thought it was a really pretty good program, weren't necessarily funded by EPA, but were able to start their program anyway, and then came back the next year and had a much stronger proposal and were successful in getting funded. Now this EPA grant program it varies in the amount of money every year. This year they're talking about $200,000 for about 3 years. There have been years when they've been funded better than that, and there have been some years that they weren't funded quite as well. They used to be two-year programs. So I would not worry about that. I would just plan out your program. And what we want to talk about today in the minutes we've got left is since we have a month and about a week to go, what you need to be doing right now to get started. And there are some really important things to be thinking about in terms of writing this grant. On the 13th, we're going to talk about all of the things they're going to be grading you on, basically, in the each of the 100 points, the criteria. But right now we want to get you going in terms of getting you motivated on the things that are going to be really important and the things that are going to take a while to do. Because if you wait till the week before the grant's due, you won't be able to do these things. And when you look through this grant, you're going to find out that community involvement and employer relationships are almost half the grading criteria of the grant. And again, later we'll be talking specifically about what those criteria are. But basically, what you need to do now, early, is, and if you haven't done this already, is two things. One, you need to start developing these employer and community relationships. These do take a while. You need to get together, most important, with the employers in your community, because every year it seems like there's more and more an emphasis on placing of the graduates. And those grantees who have developed relationships with employers and can demonstrate in their grant proposal when they write it that they've got a place for their graduates to go are going to be way ahead of the pack in terms of everyone else. If I write a grant that says I'm going to be putting out 50 or 20 graduates next April, and I leave it at that, and you've got a proposal that says I'm going to be graduating 20 graduates next April, and I have a commitment by this company, and that company to consider, not necessarily that they're going to hire them, but they will consider interviewing them for potential positions in their company. It's clear when they evaluate those two grants who is going to get the pluses and who's going to get the negatives. But after saying that, those relationships take some legwork and time to develop. So you don't want to wait for 3 weeks from now to be doing that. You need to start that right away. Start determining who the best employers are going to be in your community that might hire your graduates. And you don't have to approach them and say, I need a commitment from you to hire my graduates. What you want to do is make it a little softer and say, would you consider interviewing or considering my graduates? And even better than that, would you be interested, could you write a letter to the extent that you would consider hiring our graduates? And now you've got something that you could put in your appendix. We're not talking about a letter of support, and you don't want to ever put words in there. You don't want to ever say, I'll write the letter for you. You just want them to paraphrase it that, we'll consider hiring your employees. We'll always consider that. Well, can you write us a letter, and there's no commitment or anything, but just write us a letter that. It's going to give you a tremendous amount of leverage and support when you start planning your program that you've got someone to go to. And, of course, come next spring, this is assuming you're going to keep up this relationship with his employer, you're going, and maybe even get him on your advisory panel. And this is another thing you're going to have to do early. You want to set up your advisory boards early. You want to develop your employer relationships. And when it's time to graduate, you're going to be leaning on these people a little more aggressively and saying, in 3 weeks we've got a graduation class. Would you come and teach or be a mentor for us? Could you come and contribute to the class? Could you give us a talk about what your company does? Can you come to a hospitality night? Get to know some of our students. Get them engaged in your program, and then when graduation comes, hopefully you'll get them engaged to the point where they're going to want to get to know your graduates, and they're going to find out all the certifications they're going to have, and they're going to say, well, I'm interested in John Doe and Joe Doakes and Jimmy. I'd like to get these guys. So that's the kind of relationships you want to develop, and those things take a lot of time. So early on, again, I keep emphasizing that employer relationship. The other thing is the community relationships. Community relationships account for about a quarter of the evaluation points. And are you working in an isolated, if you're a community college or a university or NGO, are you in your office and not in the community? And it's extremely important to develop the community relationship. And what they're going to be looking for, of course, they want to know who you're working with, and they're going to want phone numbers. And you're going to hear this tomorrow or on the EPA call. They're going to want to know names and phone numbers, and they may very likely call those people up. And this goes with it, whether it's employers or community relationships, or even someone in government. They do sometimes randomly verify these things. And, of course, if they don't know anything about your program, you're cooked. You're finished at that point. But you have to start developing these relationships with the community organizations. And those may also be organized labor organizations. They may be churches. They may be governmental organizations. They may be CDCs, community development corporations. And also you want to include the political side of this. And one of the other things you want to do early on, and we're talking about things you want to get started on, like when this call ends in the next week, you want to approach someone in your city hall of the area you're going to be working in. And, you know, some of the things I'm saying, you say, I can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. And you need to talk to someone, several people, and you always need to get names and phone numbers and contact information. Someone in Office of Economic Development, there may be a Brownfields office, there may be a Department of Commerce. And if you're bold enough, and many, many of our successful grantees are, someone in people in city council. And if you can get to know someone in city council, and it depends how big your city is, I know. Smaller towns, this is a lot easier to do. Get into touch with someone in city council. And the most exemplary approach to this is to get on the agenda of a city council meeting. And ask them if you could make an announcement that you're intending on applying for a federal EPA grant to train people in the community for environmental jobs. And hopefully they'll say, sure, we'll let you do this. And not that you've gotten the grant, but that you're intending to submit a proposal for the grant and that you're looking for community and governmental support. And if you do that, you may end up with other funds and leverage funds. You may have people coming to you and saying, this is really great. We want to be a part of it. And if you do that, then you start collecting names and contact information, and this thing starts to grow. So we've got these three relationships. You've got the employer relationship, you've got the community relationship, which are the churches, the organized labor organizations, the non-governmental organizations, the community development corporations, and then you've got the political city leaders, and they're all very important, and you need to also document who you're talking to, names, if you can get phone numbers. And of course, through this whole thread of the three people that you're going to be contacting, you want to do another thing that's going to be very important for you to start on right now, and that's your needs assessment. And if you haven't done a needs assessment yet, you've got to do it. To go into the internet and start getting city government needs assessment data, whether it's demographic or whatever. That's fine, but it doesn't really hack it. What they're looking for when we say needs assessment is, who have you contacted that is going to show you that there are demonstrated jobs in the area you're going to be training? So with that, we're talking about perhaps a survey, sending out a broad survey, but following up the broad survey that you send out with phone calls and personal interviews. And some of the best needs assessments aren't necessarily some 10,000 survey that you send out and then you get 2% response. It may be that you're going to do a survey of environmental and non-environmental firms that may be interested, but you also are going through the phone book or going through a database or finding out, ferreting out those individuals that may be interested in the types of people you're going to be graduating, and actually trying to make an appointment with them and seeing what kind of jobs they might have, what types of people, when they might be hiring, learning about their business, and then documenting this and as part of and labeling it as your needs assessment. So your needs assessment is going to have several levels on it. It's going to have the basic demographics of your area and jobs and labor statistics, and those are fine, but not really that valuable. The more valuable ones will be the surveys you may be doing, and then the most valuable are going to be the personal contacts and personal interviews that you're doing, and those will be the most important part of your needs assessment. So when you listen to what EPA has to say tomorrow about needs assessment, keep this in mind that the closer you get to the real, actual, physical hiring of your people, the better your needs assessment is going to be. And all of this has to be very well documented. So all of these things that I've just mentioned take a whole lot of time. And the writing of this can be done later. You can, we'll be talking on the 13th, and in our future PLCs, we'll be talking about actually writing the document. You can do that in the last couple weeks of this. The planning is what's going to be the challenge, and getting all of these little pieces together. And another thing you're going to have to start thinking about is getting your team together. Clearly, you have to have someone who's a nonprofit that's going to be the fiscal agent, and you're going to have to be thinking about the types of training you're going to be doing. And a lot of that is, as we've been talking about in these PLCs, are going to be a result of your needs assessment and your employer surveys. And just in general, and we keep these to 30-minute conversation, I'm sorry I'm doing all the talking this week, but I wanted to get you started on these early things that are going to be very important in getting your writing a good grant. We'll focus on writing later in the month, but right now, start doing these these projects that have to be done, and almost like putting a movie together, we'll assemble them later on. You need to definitely also look at the types of people you're going to be training. And one of the things that I noticed in going through the RFP this year, which is different than other years, for those of you who have done this in the past, one definite positive is they've included water, wastewater, which is a brand new area, never been done before, and it's going to be kind of exciting. The water, wastewater training has added. They evidently have gotten funds from them, and they want you to, there will be some talk about that. One thing that was notably absent in reading through this RFP is weatherization. Now, in the last 3 years, there has been a lot of work, and we had many grantees who were successful and are still doing weatherization. Now, we're getting into personal opinion here, so this is not official or anything, but I would tend to stay away from weatherization. It's fine if you're doing it, but I wouldn't make it the centerpiece of your grant because there's been a lot of HUD money going into it. There have been a lot of training in weatherization. There have not been a lot of jobs. So I'd say the one that, if you're going to focus on jobs, try to focus on these environmental jobs. You may want to look into water treatment because that's going to be a new area. Aside from that, and I'll put that in the post-session notes, there's also a $15 million grant coming out on water treatment that you may want to look at. That's also going to be due in April. But you may want to research wastewater treatment and water treatment as a potential area, plus all of the other environmental areas that we'll be looking at. But I would tend to stay a little away from weatherization as your main focus. You may want to have it in there, but as supplement, but not as your main focus. So, we try to keep these 30 minutes. And one of the things I do have to apologize, we try to keep these interactive so that we're talking to people in the on the call. But this is kind of an interesting time in the next couple weeks. The next session we're going to have for the PLC will be on the 21st, and I'll send everyone post-session notes and reminders about that, where we'll get back to this interactive discussion of how we could write these, respond to this request for proposals and what we might be doing. But I did want to get you all started on these things that are going to take a long time, and you got to get them started right now so you can actually complete them before the grant is due. So,
Mike, where do you sign up for the call tomorrow? I went to the EPA site, and I didn't see it. I must have missed it.
Yeah, okay. It's not on EPA's site. It's a separate.
Where is it?
I'm looking for it here. I put it out on the listservs at EPA's request, and
okay.
It actually went out twice. Once they sent it to me, and it was just the email address to sign up, and then the other one was the PowerPoint. It is. Are you ready? It's www.clu-in.org.
Oh, that's simple. Okay, but I wouldn't have figured that out without you.
Yeah. And then once you get in there, you'll see a list of clue-in sessions that they've got running. They've got this one tomorrow that Mike's been talking about, but I think that the very same thing, it's going to be repeated. I think it's on the 16th or something like that. So if, tomorrow doesn't work out for you, then choose the next one. But the whole list is right there.
Here it is.
And then the 13th, if you just call in this number, same time, same place, we'll be doing our informal version of that call.
What time is that one tomorrow?
It starts at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
There is also that call tomorrow. They have a download of the PowerPoint slides, and I would recommend you downloading that. A great way to, if you want to ask questions, you want to do a on the phone. Another great way to do it is to, you could call it up on your computer, and you've got all the PowerPoint slides in front of you. And
Mike, this is Millie. Aren't they doing that same thing again the next week around the 17th?
I think it's tomorrow and the 16th.
16th, yeah, I knew it was two times.
Yeah, and they're going to be identical.
Right, right.
From the way I understand it.
Yep. Very good. Well, okay. Good luck, everyone. You've got a lot. It's going to be a busy month for all of you that are going to be doing these grants. And what we're going to do is 2 weeks from now, we'll, same time, same place, we'll start discussing how we're coming along and what we need to be doing, and maybe some of these sections after these big calls about the RFP, we'll be able to maybe clarify some issues and give you some hints on addressing some of the ranking criteria that they've got. Well, you all have a good couple of days, and good luck listening to all the calls, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
everybody.
All right. Thank you.